paint us says, I'm not really a prophet, gentlemen. I was not a member of the company of prophets. My father was not a prophet. I was a shepherd and I worked in the fields dressing sycamore trees. I don't know how you do that, but I'm sure it's important. But Amos was called to testify, to prophesy against the royal house of Judah. Amos was called to speak the truth to power at a time when it was clear that the injustices and the infidelities of Israel were leading to both the dissolution of their society, when the poor were sold for a pair of sandals, as one of the prophets says, where the rich would always get justice in the courts, or more than justice for themselves, but the poor would not. Amos and the other prophets at that time spoke the truth about what was happening and warned the people, warned the leaders, that this would all come to an end, that it would be attacked by the Babylonians, that it would be carried off into exile. There would be no cohesion in this society which had abandoned the way of the Lord, no cohesion in the society to resist the depredations of the attacker. And the same for the 12 that Jesus sent out when he sent them to prophesy. They were not members of the company of prophets, they were not sons of the prophets, these 12 men. We know they were fishermen, at least one was a political rabble rouser. They were tax collectors. They were people who had no experience of speaking religion. And yet, he sent them out to preach, and Mark tells us what they did when they went out is they preached repentance. Which doesn't mean they went around the Holy Land saying to people, you've got to go to confession, you know, otherwise you can't go to communion. They preached metanoia. They preached a complete change of vision, a complete change of mind. They called people to a different vision of things than the one which was operative. That's what repentance is in this sense. And the vision of things, ultimately, that we, like they, call people to is one which is set up very wonderfully by Paul in Ephesians. But the scholars say, I'm told, that it's the longest sentence in the New Testament. So I haven't memorized it all, so I've got the text open and I need to walk over and check it. But Paul has this wonderful vision, and it's interesting how many times in that vision of God's great plan, Paul speaks about grace free giving. He speaks about God's desire in love. He speaks about God's dream of uniting everything in grace, in love, in Christ. Paul's vision, which is the vision we are called to preach, the vision we have ourselves, and the vision we as a body are called to enflesh, it's a vision which is so contrary to much of what passes for vision in our own world in these days. We are called to preach repentance because we are called into a vision which says from the very beginning of time, God has wanted everything, everyone, to be united in love. And God did this not because people were good enough for it, not because they had paid the price of it. God did it freely. God did it out of grace, out of graciousness, out of liberality. In the spiritual exercises, which many of you know, Ignatius has this meditation that he calls the two standards. And he says there are two ways operative in our world, the way of the enemy of our humanity and the way of Christ, the way so beautifully spoken here by Paul. The way of the enemy of our humanity, the way of Satan, he says, is riches is the first thing. You get people to want wealth. From wealth, they receive honor, because we all know people who are wealthy are honored, they're respected. Once people are receiving honor, then you're going to make them proud. And from that pride, every other vice can follow. He asks us to imagine Satan sending out his demons throughout the world, saying, this is how you get people. He says, any state of life, doesn't matter from the highest to the lowest, he sends these, get them to want to be rich. If they're rich, they will be honored, and they will love to be honored. And when they are honored, it's an easy step to make them proud. And from pride, everything else can follow, as we see in the history of the Old Testament, even the pride of David, the pride of the other kings of Israel that Amos railed against. The way of Jesus, he says, is quite different. The way of Jesus ends with poverty, not riches. Jesus sends us out and says, bring people, if you can, to spiritual poverty. If God so chooses, to actual poverty. Because people who are poor are not honored. People who are poor don't get their names on things. People who are poor, some people don't even know their name. If you're not honored, you don't get proud. You learn humility. And from humility, says Ignatius, every other virtue can be followed. So these two ways, riches, honor, pride, and every other vice, on the other hand, poverty, simplicity, contempt even by the world, from which we learn humility, and from humility every other virtue can come. Generosity, love. This is what it means to preach repentance. This was the call to Amos when he was a prophet. This was the call to the disciples of Jesus when they preached repentance. They preached a complete change of mind from a mindset that says, I have earned this. This is mine, I own this, I am important, I am proud, I can stand against the others, I can even do violence if I want to. A complete change of mind to the other way of thinking, which is to say, I have nothing that the world will respect me for necessarily. People ignore me, and so it leads to humility. And from that humility, like the humility of Jesus, every good thing can come. We are like those 12 preachers of repentance. We are like those 12 preachers in our own day of a complete change of mind. Because as we all know, the way things are in our world currently, riches, honor, pride pretty much carries the day. The alternative, which is about graciousness, free giving even when it is not deserved, the alternative, which is simply love, not payment, that doesn't get much space. And that is the challenge to us. That is the challenge to the church. To be prophets. We were all baptized prophets, anointed prophets, to speak the truth. And the truth is that from all eternity God has wanted freely to give everything to us, to adopt us as daughters and sons, to make us one with each other, to make the whole of creation one, not divided, not separated, not walled off, not judged, one in love. We celebrate here at this table one great moment of that unity in love, where we freely receive something we have not earned, where God gives himself to us graciously, freely, in love. And so let us pray as we come to this table to celebrate Eucharist, that we will have the vision that Paul so eloquently outlines, a new vision for our world, that we can courageously preach, that we can courageously embody among ourselves, which will let an embodiment to preach more eloquently. Let's give thanks for those who have taught us the mystery that God has had in mind for all time.